Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Dr. John here, speaking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana. And we're going to cover Acts 21 today. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray for the reading of your word and the actions of the Holy Spirit in Acts 21 that you empowered Paul and the events that happened in Acts 21. I pray you use me to communicate what you want to be heard at this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're in Acts 21. Paul is returning to Jerusalem. He knows that there's going to be problems when he gets there. The Holy Spirit's continually telling that as he says his farewell to those that he has ministered to and they had ministered to him. And so we come into some further traveling, and then we go into Jerusalem. And it came to pass that after we gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Petra. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finally, disciples tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Okay, so his disciples are telling him, okay? And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Polemus and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. Next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, abode with him, and we abode with him. Abode with him. And the same man had four daughters. This is Philip the evangelist, right? Which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. So everybody's on board. They know what's going to happen. Paul knows, been knowing what's going to happen. And he's surrendered to it and surrendered to God's will. And he's letting the Holy Spirit lead him. And I wish there were more men, women like him, myself included. Okay. And we need to pray for that. We need to pray for that. Okay. And after these days, verse 15, they took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manson of Cyprus, an old disciple in whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had brought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, and they were informed of thee, that thou teachest in all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to be circumcised, their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is therefore the multitude? What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vial on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are not nothing but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles, which believing we have written and concluded, they observe no such things, save only that to keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of the purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Okay. See, here's believing Jews, and they were hearing that, you know, you're not supposed to keep the Moses, and Paul was teaching against people being circumcised and continuous and obeying the book of Moses, the law of Moses. Paul didn't have to do this, but to make sure that everybody knows that these, whether you shave your head, you take a vow with the other men, do the ritual of the Nazarite vow, it has nothing to do with your salvation. This is just, he's doing a religious ceremony. And some religious ceremonies are religious ceremonies. You know, it has nothing to do with salvation, but it has to do with religious ceremonies. You take the Presbyterians, you take the Anglicans, you take even the Roman Catholic Church and their ceremonies. Though I think they teach heresy even in their ceremonies. But the other, the Jewish, let's say, and some of these the Baptists. You know, I'm not a Baptist by the strictest Baptist terms. Now, I am a Baptist by the strictest Baptist terms, in that the Baptists were the ones that taught that you're baptized after you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you do it for public announcement to make your profession public. That's it. Now that was a new one, because you had the Catholic Church, christening was for salvation. The Lutheran Church, christening was for salvation. The Presbyterian Church, christening was for dedication. Methodists, they were the same thing as almost the same thing as Lutherans. They're a little bit different, but they all baptized and had these religious ceremonies for dedication and things that had nothing to do with salvation. It doesn't to the Baptist. So I'm a Baptist in that sense. But as far as any other laws of Judea laws, maybe dietary laws, but any other laws, they're not part of my life. They're not part of my life. But I'm not a Baptist. and I believe in their theology, but I'm not a Baptist in religious practice, okay? Baptists are pretty loose, but I don't dance, and I do drink, and but so that's why I say I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. Methodists drink. Episcopalians, they drink, but I'm not Episcopalian. I don't believe in their theology. I don't believe in a Methodist theology or the Lutheran theology. I don't believe it. So the closest thing is the Baptist theology. But if I was in an Anglican church, for some reason, I had some friends that were there, I would go along with their ceremony or whatever. I'd sing with them and I'd pray with them, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that's what Paul's doing here. He's accommodating the Jews to show that he's not against their religious activity, but he is against them not believing in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And that's what he's saying. Now, let's go on further. Verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, remember, he had problems with these Jews. They were the vagabonds. They were following him around and beating him up and chasing him out of town and all of that. Well, they showed up in Jerusalem. Here you go. When they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. And they didn't pray for him, okay? Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So here's a couple of guys they thought that were Gentiles and from Ephesus, that he brought him in the temple. It's hearsay. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions, that's a lot of folks, and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, that they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, another of the multitude, And when he could not know certainly of the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came unto the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of people followed after, crying away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? And art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out the wilderness for thousands of men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood up the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and we'll find out what he said next time. But Lord, let me tell you something. I don't see nothing wrong with drinking a beer now and then. And I don't mean to be drunk. I said, I just have a little beer now and then. And that's what I meant. So I'm not a Baptist. But I'm a born-again believer that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you that in any crowd. So here we go. Paul the Apostle is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He has been misunderstood again and ID'd. They thought he was some Egyptian. So he's got people that all kinds of, see, that's what happens. They, once you get targeted for something that everybody wants to gang up on about, and you see, they do this so they look better. They're self-righteous. They're more righteous than Paul. And they've accused him of bringing people into the temple, which he didn't. He was supposedly an Egyptian that was an insurrectionist, which he wasn't. And so don't be surprised if you're misunderstood and miscategorized as you walk as a Christian. And God will be with you. It's God's will. And so that it'll draw attention to you so that, as we'll see tomorrow, next time, that what Paul spoke to them and why all of this commotion brought attention to him so that he could preach the gospel. Amen. God bless you. Let me have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for what you brought out in this chapter. And I pray, Father, it would help some folks. And I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. WSM217@gmail.com. So you can get in touch with me.